الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي دروشي بالله مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه تسليما. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. In the last session of Tarsi Hadith, we discussed the mihrabs of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mihrabun Nabi, the famous mihrab of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And presently on the Qibla wall, Mihrab Uthman, the Mihrab of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Brothers will remember that in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no Mihrab. It was Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala. Allah give him jazai khair. In approximately the year 91 Hijri, when he had the responsibility of extending Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also designed the mihrab, the area where Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam stood and performed salah, and built a mihrab in the front part of it, a niche, and also the mihrab of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Another mihrab in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is known as mihrab tahajjud. Mihrab tahajjud is located towards Bab-e Uthman. Bab-e Uthman is now known as Bab-e Jibreel. As you enter from Bab-e Jibreel, approximately on the left-hand side, we have a platform that's slightly uplifted from the ground, a flight of one step, which is covered, encircled like a balcony. And in the front part of it, in the front section, are shelves of the Quran. So the Saudi government has covered the entire front part, the area, the walls which cover the inside section of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think there is a possibility that if you look on the top part, there is a possibility that you might see the shape of the mihrab. And that mihrab is known as mihrab tahajjud. You can't see it because the Quran is there, that entire section is covered. And it is very, very difficult also to get a space in mihrab tahajjud. There are always people, mashallah, performing the sunan and nawafil there. A lot of people are there reciting the Quran, and they have this habit that they also reserve the places there. So they have a shawl and they put it there, and the place is reserved. The reason why that area is known as mihrab tahajjud, it is absolutely on the back part of the chamber of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. And in the night, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam would perform salatu tahajjud in that area. There is a hadith in the month of Ramadan, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his hujra and he stood there where the mihrab is and performed his salat. Some of the companions noticed that Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam is there, and it was the month of Ramadan. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing his nawafil prayer, or Salatul Taraweeh, what is known as what we practice today. This was a consensus and ijma' in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and with all the companions that were there, they all agreed that in the month of Ramadan we have to read 20 rakats, which is known as Salatul Taraweeh. Salatul Taraweeh. And ijma' is also part of the sharia. Quran, Sunnah, ijma' and qiyas. Again, this is another subject which is known as the usul al-fiqh. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his tahajjud there. One by one the companions came and joined Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam in his nawafil. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam noticed that there are a group of companions following him. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam shortened his salat and quickly went inside the hujra. In Fajr Salah, the companions that were around Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, they said to him, O Prophet of Allah, we came with the intention that we will have received barakah from you and join you in your salah. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, I don't want this namaz of tahajjud or qiyamul layl or salatul taraweeh, however you translate it, I don't want this salat to be farz upon my ummah. So this will be very, very difficult for the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As it is, Fajr salat is quite difficult. What about in the case of salatul tahajjud? Tahajjud would be very, very difficult. And that is why Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam never performed, did not like to perform the night prayer in a congregational manner. One mas'ala that is taken out from this hadith is what we, the Hanafi ulama say, the ulama ahnaf, they say that it is not jais to perform in a congregational way salatul tahajjud. Tahajjud ki namaz jamaat ki shakal mein jaiz nahi. There is no jamaat for nawafil. Only what is sabit of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, like salatul janaza. Again, salatul janaza is not a salat, it is a dua. Salatul janaza is a dua. Namaz is zat ruku'in wa sujudin, which has got ruku and which has got sujood. Only that which is sabit from Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, that is what we can perform. So there is no jama'at for nawafil and no jama'at for tahajjud. In the case of the za'ireen, those who go to Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who make ziyarat of Haraman al-Sharifain and do umrah there in the month of Ramadan, because they follow another fiqh and for them it is jaiz, so they perform qiyamul layl and they recite again, especially in the last 10 days, they make the khatam of the entire Quran in the month of Ramadan. And in their fiqh, that is jaiz. In their fiqh, that is jaiz. So this mihrab is known as mihrab-e-tahajjud. Mihrab-e-tahajjud. Not to forget that. Again, another mihrab, which is, if you stand where the mihrab of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam is, towards the right hand side of the mihrab is another mihrab which is known as mihrab-e-hanafi. Mihrab-e-hanafi. A lot of people feel that, oh, the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is very, very weak. And astaghfirullah, some people even go as far as saying that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi had no knowledge of hadith. Astaghfirullah. And some even go as far as saying that he had no knowledge of the Arabic language. Until today, this mihrab is there, which is known as mihrab-e-hanafi. The ulama say that initially, when it became incumbent upon the ummah to make taqleed of one imam in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was there, and the influence that Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi had on the Madani people, majority of the followers were Maliki. And the official appointed Imam in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the one who followed the fiqh of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Later on, another Imam was appointed, especially due to the fact that the Egyptian king had influence there in the Masjid at that time. And he appointed an imam who was a Shafi'i. Subhanallah. There was no fight between the Shafi'is and the Malikis. Subhanallah. The only difference was that the Shafi'i people prayed their Salatul Fajr very early in the dark. So the imam would come and perform. The first Jamaat of Fajr that would take place was with that imam who followed the fiqh of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh. And then later on, the Malikis would come and perform their salat. But there was peace and harmony. There was no difficulty. Everyone was practicing the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Difficulty comes when we want to mix and match. When we become picky and we want to choose, take out a few masails from the fiqh of Imam Malik and follow some things from the Hanafi fiqh and follow something from the Hanbali fiqh. That is when difficulty becomes, when you become independent of fiqh. Later on, Allama Samhaudi rahmatullah alayhi says, by the year 1303 Hijri, majority of the people that were there in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. So much so that Ali bin Musa rahmatullah alayhi says that the biggest gathering in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of Ahnaf. And that is why an official Imam, Hanafi Imam, was appointed in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the year 1303 Hijri. And that mihrab was for that Imam, and the Hanafi people would come and perform their salat there. There was absolutely no problem, no confusion at that time. Later on, when the Saudi government came into power, what had happened is that the official fiqah of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the official fiqah of Masjid al-Haram became the fiqh of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. So majority of the imma of Saudi Arabia follow the fiqh of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, and that is also jai. So if you go for the month of Ramadan and when you see a group of people coming out from the masjid who don't join into the salat or the system how the imams pray their salatul witr, we should not point fingers. Alhamdulillah, if brothers pray, they can pray. And if brothers want to come out, and if they are going to perform witr salat with a Hanafi imam, with jama'at, that is also jaiz. But again, to confirm your masail when you go there, if you have an alim or a mufti sahab there with you, alhamdulillah, you can ask him and perform your salah. There's one individual here, mashallah, he was a Hanafi, and not mentioning no names, and alhamdulillah, what he did was good also. Now, alhamdulillah, he practices the fiqh of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. I recently saw him in salah because I know him, and I saw him that his postures of salah were slightly different. The majority of the people that come here, we practice the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. And there is no problem. And his postures in salat were very different. So very kindly and in a respectable way, I approached him and I said to him that, I see you now that you are performing salat in a different way. I hope you have not become an Ahl Hadith. If you have become an Ahl Hadith, then as one brother to another brother or as a friend to a friend, maybe we should discuss a few matters. He said, no, Maulana, when I went to Saudi Arabia, alhamdulillah, I feel comfortable in this position. I have left the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, and I have taken on the fiqh of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah. I said to him, alhamdulillah. I said to him, alhamdulillah. The ulama have given jaiz that in your lifetime once, don't make it a habit, that for 3 months you become a Hanafi, and then for 4 months you become a Maliki, and then again for 3 months you become a Shafi'i. This is mazak, this is sukhriya, this is not jaiz. But if you are serious, for some reason you feel comfortable, for some reason your ruh pulls towards one fiqh, it's like if you have made bay'ah to one sheikh, that is jaiz. And you have only one sheikh and you are connected to him. So in fiqah, you should accept one fiqah. And he has become a Hanabila. Alhamdulillah, that is also very, very good. But perhaps the most difficult fiqah to follow from all the fiqh. The most difficult fiqh. Very hard. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi's maslak is extremely difficult. And the easiest fiqh, Allah give jazai khair, is the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Subhanallah. Imam Azam. And he was a tabi'i. And majority of the people today in the world are the followers of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. Entire Turkey, that is why that influence was there due to the Ottoman Empire. Entire Turkey is Ahnaf, Pura Turkey. And If ittifaq can come, if unity can come, it can come in Turkey. Because there is no intishar, whatever their political problems may be, no matter how secular the state may be. But ittifaq can come, unity can come in Turkey, because they believe in one fiqh only. And ittifaq could have also come in Pakistan, because majority of the people in Pakistan also believe in one fiqh, and that is the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Brothers, this is the backbone. Anyone who leaves fiqh, that individual has dismantled, subhanallah, like a skeleton in the body. If there's no skeleton, no structure, you don't stand. Fiqh is the backbone. You take that out and you are nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we follow one fiqh, and these were great shuyukh, great Allah walilu. So that mihrab is still there. Mihrab-e-Hanafi. So if anybody says that, oh, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is this, or the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa is this, you can point it out to them that in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a mihrab which is known as Mihrab-e-Hanafi. And this is in the books that have been printed in Saudi Arabia, not in India, not in Pakistan, but in Saudi Arabia. So one mihrab is known as Mihrab-e-Hanafi. I remember when we were in Arbi Awwal, in Darul Ulum Bari, our Ustaz, Hazrat Maulana Fazl Haq, the son of a great Sheikh, Maulana Ismail Wadi Sahab. Maulana Fazl Haq Sahab was an incredible man. He was like an encyclopedia. Allah had blessed him with so much knowledge. He spoke English, French, Arabic, so many languages he knew. Subhanallah. And he taught the kitabs also. He was a very learned scholar. And we were at that time very young. And he said to us, "Bhai, tell me, was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an a Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi? What was it? What was Hazrat Umar Farooq? What do you think? What was Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala? How many people think that he was a Hanafi? Lift your hands up. How many people feel that Hazrat Umar Farooq was a Hanafi? None of you feel that he was a Hanafi? You think he was a Hanafi? You are Umar, so you feel that? How many people feel that? Subhanallah. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq, they did not need to follow no one. Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was not even there in their times. Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was there during the period of Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. So in the time of Khulafai Rashid, in the time of Tabi'een, there were a lot of shuyukh, a lot of fuqaha. Only later on, after 200, 300 years, it became imperative for the ummah to follow one fiqh. And there were so many fuqaha, but slowly, slowly, the system of fiqh shaped up into four branches. Shaped up into four branches. There was no five, four. Four khulafa, four kitabs, nuzul, and four fuqaha. Another mihrab, which is in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is not visible now for the ummah, is known as Mihrab-e-Fatima. Mihrab-e-Fatima. That is now in the inside section where the hujra of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. The mu'arrikheen say that this mihrab was done to indicate and locate the chamber, the room of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. These are the mihrabs that are in the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Behind mihrab-e-tahajjud is another platform, a square platform, which is known as maqam-e-suffa. Suffa in the Arabic language is known as an area where there is a lot of shade. Anyone who had nowhere to go when they made hijrat from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, they stayed in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that area where Maqam al-Suffa was, and generally these were the poor masakeen, the fuqara al-muhajireen, like Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala, and later on they became brilliant students of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They became muhaddis. Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala was also from Ashab al-Sufa. It was the responsibility of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam to feed them, to clothe them, and to look after them. Some of the mu'arrikhin, the historians, say that there were as many as 600 to 700 Ashab al-Sufa. And always in that platform, they say that 60 to 70 qurra were there. Some of the ulama say that if anyone has difficulty in memorizing the Quran, if he goes there in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and for as long as he is in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tries to get that place in that area of Maqam Sufa and recites the Quran, inshallah the barakat of that will be that he will become hafiz of the Quran. He will become hafiz of the Quran. And this again is a ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to who he likes. After the mihrabs of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we come on to the pillars of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The famous pillar is known as Ustuwana Mukhallaqa, or another name given to it is Ustuwana Hannana. And all the names are written on the top section of the pillar. If you take time out and read, it's very, very visible and clearly written, Ustuwana Hannana or Ustuwana Mukhallaqa. Mukhallaqa was a special fragrance in Arabia, and that fragrance was always put in that part where the pillar was, and that is why that pillar is known as Ustuwana'i Mukhallaqa. This pillar is also known as Ustuwana'i Hannana. Why? Because of the dead stem of date tree that was there. Absallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if his khutbah was long, Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam would lean on that date tree. Absallallahu alayhi wa sallam would continue with his khutbah. Later on, when the minbar was built for Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, Absallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the minbar. It is said, and this is the mu'ajizah of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, that dead stem date tree started to cry. Absallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne apna hath mubarak us par rakha, jaysay maa apne bachche ke upar hath rakhti. Slowly, subhanallah, it settled down. Some of the ulama say that stem of date tree is buried under the pillar. And this pillar, a lot of people miss out because it is exactly behind the mihrab of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Absolutely behind the mihrab of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam. Some of the scholars say that this tree was taken away by one sahabi whose name was Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b. He took it away for barakatan. He took it away and we don't know what happened to it. And some of the scholars say, no, it is underneath where the mihrab is and where the pillar is. So this pillar is known as Ustuwana'i Mukhallaqa. Brothers who go there, it's very, very important that they try the utmost best to perform salah in front of any of the pillars in the main section of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many pillars in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we are talking the pillars that are located inside the area which is known as Rawzatun min Riyazil Jannah, that part of the area. The ulama say that if you perform your salat anywhere near the pillar, there is a possibility, no doubt, that Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam has stood there and Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam has performed salat there. And it is guaranteed that Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in have stood there and performed salat. The ulama say that it was the habit of Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in that whenever they came in the masjid, they would look for the pillar that was there and stand in front of it and would perform salat. Why? Because it's the best point of sutra. If anybody wanted to cross, they could do so very, very easily. And they would stay there, and it was because the salat was very, very long. And if anybody wanted to pass by, they could do so. So Ustuwana'i Mukhallaqa is also there. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi was one question, that Hazrat, which is the best area in Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam that you would select to perform salah? The best area. Riyazul Jannah. يونس إمام مالك رحمة الله عليه رأيه. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was question. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi says that the out of first salah in the first saf, anywhere in the first saf. And it, I have seen, and a lot of people have also heard, Maulana Ismail Wadi Saab in Blackburn. I don't know if brothers know him. He is also the Khalifa of the late Maulana Ghulam Habib Naqshbandi rahmatullah alayhi. It is said that when he went to Umrah, a lot of people would see him all the time in his five times a day salah in Masjid Nabawi in the front saf. And that is a mission. That is very, very difficult. You can get one salah, but to get five salah in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the front saf is very, very difficult. And there have been a lot of people who say that Maulana Ismail Wadiwala is always there performing his salah. Subhanallah. Perhaps this is his karamat. He is a sahib-e-karamat buzrug. Imam Malik said that anywhere in the front saf. But if I had an opportunity to select an area to perform nawafil prayer, it would have been in the area where Ustuwana-e-Mukhallaqa is. That area where that date tree, red stem of khajur, of that date tree cried out, that is the area where I would stand and read salat. Why? Because that is the area where Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam stood for his salat. So this is known as Ustuwana Mukhallada. But it is located in such a situation that there is an entry next to it, that people go in the front part towards the front saf and give salatu wasalam to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So nowadays it can be a bit difficult, but if you come to the side, you can perform your salat there. Another pillar which is known as Ustuwana Aisha. Ek pillar inshaAllah, fir aapko chutti. Ustuwana Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. This pillar is also known, before we go into Ustuwana Aisha, this Ustuwana Mukhallaqa, this pillar has got three names. Ustuwana Mukhallaqa, Ustuwana Hannana, and Ustuwana Mushaf. It is said that Hajjaj had given a Quran as a hadiya towards the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Quran was kept in that area in a case. Aapko pata hai, Hajjaj was a great hafiz of the Quran. Yet he was a great zalim, but he was a master of the Quran. Master of the Quran. He would even tell you how many qafs there are in the entire Quran. Even individual words of Quran, he had information of that. He had mastered the Quran. Subhanallah. And some of the ulama have said it is Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And he has put the vowels, the zabar, zair and pesh and the nuqat in the Quran that we read. Otherwise the Arabic language is without the Arab that you see. There is no zabar, there is no pesh. It is just to facilitate. That is why when you look at the old version of the kutubs in a hadith, you will not find zabar, zair, pesh. You have to have mastered nahwa and sarf to understand and to read the Arabic language. So that mushaf was also there. Ustuwana Aisha, that pillar is known as Ustuwana Aisha, Ustuwana Qura, and also Ustuwana Muhajireen. The Muhajireen, the companions from Makkatul Mukarramah that came, they would sit in front of this pillar and make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This area is known as Ustuwana Qura. Qura kisko kehte? When you put paper with names there, and one has to choose a paper, chitthi, or Qura, which is known in the English language as lot casting. Lot casting, paper ko nikalna, lot casting. Samjhe aap? Qura, kis kya kehte isko Qura English mein machines? Huh? Drawing lots. Theek hai. Drawing lots. And the word lot that comes out from lottery, possibly drawing lots. So if they would write the names. And if anybody's name came out, he had an opportunity to read salat there. Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Hazrat Aisha that in my masjid there is one spot that is so precious and so blessed that if I give you the fazilat of it, all the people would queue up there to perform their nawafil prayers. And that you would have to do Qur'an, drawing lots, write your name on a piece of paper, and whoever name came out, he would have an opportunity, his turn would come to read salat there. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not reveal that area to anyone except to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. That is why one day a group of muhajireen went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha with this mission that today we will ask her that where is this area in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and hopefully she will tell us. So a group of the companions were with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they were asking her question. And one of the question was that Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam has said about that one spot in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you can tell us where this area is. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha refused. I am not going to say anything to you. But the plan was a great plan. In the group of the companions that were there, the nephew of Hazrat Aisha was also there. Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. And he was very close to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So the companion said to him that, look, we will go, you stay behind, and you sit with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and slowly convince her that she should tell us. So all the muhajirin went away and they were hiding behind the pillar. And there Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair is there forcing and persuading Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Amma, if you tell us, why are you depriving us? Tell us where this area is. Subhanallah. And I'm sure that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of this ummah, is a lady who would have informed. But this is the hikmah. At that time she didn't. Perhaps she was aware of the situation. And she said to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair, come close to me. And she said something in the ear of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. And all this is being witnessed by the companion. Subhanallah. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair had said to them that, if she tells me, I will quietly come out of the masjid and perform my salat there. And this information was given to Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam said to Hazrat Aisha, and Aisha said it to Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair gave this information to the entire ummah. Allah gave him jazai khair. And he stood up and he prayed in that exact area, that exact spot which Hazrat Aisha indicated to him, and that is why the pillar is there, and that pillar is named after Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, which is known as Ustuwana Aisha. The companions, the muhajirin at the back, saw exactly that spot where Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair was performing his salah. It is said that after that there was a rush. All the companions would want to perform their salah there, all the companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazai khair to sahaba-i kiram ajma'in. Allah give us the tawfiq that we make amal on the sunnah and the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us the opportunity that we make ziyarat of Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death in the condition of iman. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.